chapter 30 and verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in king's palaces. Verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The wisdom of our Creator is boundless. And if we would just stop, ponder, meditate the glories of creation and how God orchestrates all of it, how He upholds all things by the word of His power, how His goodness is overall, I think we would have a greater sense of reverence and respect for our God, our Creator, our Redeemer. Now, think about this. We marvel at the massive power of the elephant. The cunning and the speed of the lion going after its prey. The tallness of a giraffe. There's nothing like it in all the world. Yet Agur wants us to consider the little things that God has created upon the earth. Though they are creatures not blessed with the faculties of intellect or reason, like human beings, we are set apart from them. They have been given instincts that enable them to adapt and to thrive in the environment in which they've been placed. The instinctive knowledge God has given them is wisely applied. These little creatures, deemed insignificant by most, often display more wisdom and a stronger work ethic than men who call themselves great. We should learn from God's creation that the smallest of things are important to Him. Who hath despised the day of small things? I look at our church. It's been in existence since the 1890s. Never has been large. I know, as I've read, our history is very spotty. We have a small booklet, but we have not preserved, we don't have all the minutes, all the meetings. It's really pretty spotty. But what I have observed is that Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church has always been standard bearers for the truth as it is in Jesus. And it has always been missionary. And always been independent and landmark. And you know, it thrills my heart that though we may have but a little flock, God is in our midst. And we ought never to despise the presence and the power of Jesus Christ in the midst of this flock. He is with us. He is the head of this church. He walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. We're to honor Him and glorify Him until He comes again. Thank God, though we be but a little flock, we still are able to preach the gospel, to baptize believers, to teach the people the truth until Jesus comes again. And we need to be up and doing this work diligently, faithfully. Now, the smallest of things are important to God. We may receive valuable instruction from God's handiwork if only we would take the time to observe and meditate upon the wonders of His creation. How evolutionists have robbed people of the wonder of and the glory of seeing God as omnipotent and able to speak the entire universe into existence by the word of His power, and then be able to orchestrate and govern everything in creation. It magnifies God's power, His sovereignty, His faithfulness. There is a stability in seeing God governing all of creation. And perhaps that's why when trials and difficulties come, atheists and evolutionists go into mass hysteria. They have nowhere to turn. Men can't help them. We can trust in God. We can rest in Him. Today we're going to consider the ants. Verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. There are not many creatures on God's green earth that are smaller or weaker than ants. One man's foot could easily crush thousands of ants at once. Yet in spite of their apparent weakness and insignificance, God uses their activities to teach us wisdom. Now Solomon wrote about the diligent work ethic of ants to serve as a rebuke to the sluggard. It goes all the way back to Proverbs chapter 6. After we get done with it, Proverbs 31, we're probably just going to start all over again because you've forgotten it all. No, I'm not going to. But look back there. I'm sure you remember when I taught on this. Look what it says here, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Ants are industrious creatures who work tirelessly to accomplish their goals. And if you've ever observed a colony of ants, it is an amazing display of nonstop activity where hundreds of insects work together to make preparation for the cold of winter. They will allow nothing to deter them from the task at hand. If you place an obstacle in their way, they will persevere until they have removed it, or they'll go over it or around it. They're not quitters. No matter how difficult the circumstances, They understand instinctively that they must get the job of food preparation done in summer in order to survive the long winter. They work with a sense of urgency, purpose, and perseverance. As far as I know, they have no retirement program. I don't know of any of ants if they ever retire or become slothful. It's not in their nature. They literally work their entire life. They spend themselves for the good of the colony. Now, so many lessons about life may be gleaned from the activity of ants. Maybe the biggest thing, they instinctively understand the importance of preparation. They instinctively know that unless they do their work in the summer, they are going to perish in the winter. And I think of sinners. The call goes out to all men everywhere. Prepare to meet thy God. How sad it is that an overwhelming majority of people give little or no thought whatsoever about the future and where they will spend it. You see, I believe the Word of God makes it crystal clear that when a person dies, their immortal soul lives on for all eternity. If you're saved by God's sovereign grace, you will live eternally in the glories of heaven and in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave Himself for you. If you refuse to heed the message of the gospel, the warnings of God's Word, and you die in your sin without Jesus Christ, you will spend an eternity in a lake of fire. Oh, that sinners would pause and give solemn thought to the condition of their never-dying soul. God's Word commands all men everywhere to repent of their sins, to believe the gospel of the grace of God, to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the follies of sin by trusting fully and only in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the only way of salvation, forgiveness, and acceptance with God. And there is not a greater display of God's love for fallen sinners than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His shed blood and glorious resurrection from the dead to rescue all that believe from the ravages of hell. I've been preaching this for almost 40 years. And I pray God gives me grace to preach it right up to my dying breath. Oh, that God would stir sinners to have a sense of urgency to prepare for eternity. Today is the day of salvation. You're not promised of another day of life. Allow nothing to keep you from knowing the Lord Jesus and the free pardon of sin. Cast yourself entirely upon the merits of Christ, trusting fully in His finished work. Heed the proclamation of Jesus Himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Embrace the promise of Jesus. He said, verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Over this past week, as the announcements became more dire and more severe, people began to prepare just for the days and the weeks ahead. And I dare say that very few of them gave a moment's thought to their own mortality, to their own frailty, to their own sinfulness and brokenness before God. And I dare say that few of them gave any thought to where they're going to spend eternity. They're only worried about physical provision and not concerned at all with spiritually eternity. Now, don't get me wrong. I think you ought to prepare. I think you ought to be ready for what comes. Now, there are also lessons, not just of preparation, but of diligence and perseverance for spiritual and physical life. Remember I said the ants always find a way around obstacles to get the job done? Yet how often do we allow the cares of this life to keep us from the holy task of serving the Lord? We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Every day ought to be one of cheerful obedience to the commands of God, no matter what the circumstances. We've been redeemed by the blood of the crucified one. We owe Him every fiber of our being. We are overcomers because of His glorious work for us and in us. Let us be up and doing. May God help us to consecrate ourselves afresh and anew, allowing nothing to keep us from our high and holy calling of service to our Lord. Ants never make excuses. They soldier on. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God instruct us from the life and the activity of the ant. What a rebuke to laziness and sloth. The ant makes no excuses for his apparent weakness. Instead, he just outworks everybody. He works, he perseveres, he lives with a sense of purpose. Try to tell an ant he is a victim, that the forces of nature are against him, and that there's nothing he can do about it. He won't capitulate. He won't listen. He won't quit. He will continue in his quest to be personally responsible. There is no sense of entitlement among ants. They just do their work. Whatever the station of life Providence may place you in, heed the solemn admonition of Colossians 3. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I kind of got an idea that ants, as they do their work, aren't looking around to see what the other ants have. I don't think that they grow jealous. This one may have a bigger pile of crumbs than that one does. He just keeps to the work at hand. That's how I try to live my life. I don't believe that you ought to live in a sense of envy and jealousy of what other people may have. Do your own work. Do it to the glory of God. Be content with what you have and thank God for it. That's all we're going to cover today. God bless you. Don't shake hands. I don't want the governor coming in there unexpectedly.